This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN. This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer. This is GOAT Madness.
I am the greatest.
Jordan to the circle, puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won.
Who is the GOAT?
We know!
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It's time for you to determine who's the greatest of all time, once and for all.
This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck. Barry Bonds with a spectacular three-run homer.
Because that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold sets up.
This is GOAT Madness.
We have come down to the final two to determine whom is the greatest of all time. Gordon Damer, how did the final four turn out?
Well, it was exciting, but it was not close, Larry. Let's put it that way. It was a blowout in both regards. 176.4% to 23.6. The other 63-37.
Mm-hmm.
So for tonight, for the final time, our championship match of GOAT Madness, it will be the number two seed, the six-time NBA champion, Michael Jordan, against the number six seed, our own Don LaGreca.
Good for me.
Wow. LaGreca's run, Madonna, Joey Chestnut, Michael Jackson, Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady.
The legend killer.
Legend killer. As for Michael Jordan, his run through this thing, let's see, he was the two seed in that region. Yes. His run was Homer Simpson, Jimi Hendrix, Babe Ruth, Tony Soprano, Muhammad Ali.
I'm a little surprised it wasn't closer with Ali and Jordan. A little surprised.
Yeah. Well, age.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it. Absolutely.
I'll say this. I don't know how this will turn out, but I think clearly LaGreca had the more difficult road.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he started out with Madonna.
He started out with Madonna, dusted her, Michael Jackson, Wayne Gretzky, Joey Chestnut, Tom Brady. I mean, how many titles between those? Leave out the titles for MJ.
I mean,
the King of Pop. We don't want all the titles that, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
But
you know, people say he has
been impressive.
Yeah. A lot of great performers in that. A lot of great people.
A
lot of goats in there.
That is our tournament final, people. We have left it in your hands. Jordan, LaGreca, voting is now open, Larry.
At Hardest to ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY 98.7 FM. Wow. GOAT Madness. Championship. You have 24 hours. Get it done.
Vote early and often.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Back to the phones. Rashad's in the Bronx. Rashad, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, good evening, Larry. Good evening, Gordon. So I was just thinking about what you guys were talking about, how the Knicks would celebrate crazy if they won a championship. And that brought me back to 2012 when Melo went off in that game four to prevent us from getting swept by Miami, and how the Garden threw confetti for us winning one playoff game. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But back to my original point. Mm-hmm. So early in the show, you mentioned how Jalen Brunson is not really getting talked about much,
mm-hmm,
because of the team he plays for. This is a great paradox, because the Knicks are the biggest market as it gets. But the problem is the Knicks only make headlines when they are dysfunctional. What's fair? They've been dysfunctional for quite a while.
It's been their way of life.
Now they, Yeah, pretty much my whole life. But now that they're getting things orderly, it seems like the media is very quiet. It seems they benefit more when it makes them more dysfunctional. That's just how I see it.
All right, Rashad, thanks for the phone call. Listen, let's be fair, Gordon. The Knicks don't make it easy because they, you know, they limit access on occasion. There have been a number of reporters who have complained about limiting access. They mm-hmm. don't, they're yep. not free-flowing yep. with information.
Mm-hmm.
So to be fair, they don't help themselves out. But as you just, I think my reaction was to what J.J. Redick was saying in his podcast. And for him to talk about how people are saying that Brunson's in the top 30 in the league mm-hmm. this season, all you have to do is watch him. You know, there's yeah. not. There's not 29 people better than him.
No.
Okay?
No.
Well, not this season. Not this season.
I think that he's talking to the casual NBA fan, and mm-hmm. it can sometimes get lost when you're super into something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know for me, when I talk about Breaking Bad, Larry, I'm in my happy place. I love Breaking Bad. And when I hear from somebody who says they have not seen Breaking Bad, it throws me for a loop. How could you have not seen the greatest television show mm-hmm. of all time? So for Knicks fans who are, as we've already stated, as diehard, as into the team, into every angle of the organization that they can possibly be, mm-hmm. when somebody does not recognize or does not have that, does not match their interest level in the team or doesn't know about the team, you know, if they still think that Quentin Grimes is on the team, you know, they might not be as focused on Jalen Brunson. So mm-hmm. that might be part of it.
It might be. Might be. Manny's in Flushing. What's up, Manny?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Manny.
Yes, well, a great night today being a Knicks fan. They're back in the playoffs for the second straight year. It's amazing, you know, after everything what that team has been through, they managed to make the playoffs, and, you know, they got to give credit for Jalen Brunson. I want to ask you guys, because y'all been watching basketball, this season, which team that really surprised you means basically they improve, and which team do you think in each conference, which team that surprised you and which team that disappoints you in a respective conference?
I would say that I'm a little disappointed with the Lakers and the Clippers.
What about Phoenix?
Phoenix is right in there too. There's a couple of them, especially out west. If you had to give me three, if you give me one, I would take Phoenix, followed by the Lakers, and then the Clippers. And the Clippers are just. Because, and thanks for the phone call, Gordon, I mean, you hear them talking about, well, you know, we don't have an identity. And Ty Lue says, yeah, that's because you're soft. I mean,
yeah.
That's not what you want. That's not what you want. The surprise for me right now out west is Dallas. Gordon, I didn't expect Dallas to be like this. I did not.
Yeah.
Do they have the potential to be like this? Yeah. But I expected, I'm going to be honest, I expected one of the two of those guys to implode and they not be as good as they've been. And, you know, they've been fabulous, especially down the stretch here. So those would be my teams out west. In the east, I think Indiana was the surprise for me. I did not expect them, and they still don't play a lick of defense, but I did not expect their offense to be as potent as it's been. It's fluctuated a little bit, and it's supposed to because it's a long season. But they've surprised me. They really have. They're still in this hunt. And another team, even though you expected Orlando to be better, Gordon, I didn't expect them
I didn't expect them. That would be my surprise in the East, I think. I didn't think it would come together this quickly for them, and they look. I thought it was going to come together at some point because it just had so many young, so many high picks here over the years. But that would be my surprise in the East. I would say the surprise in the West, it's not really the team as much as it is just their star players' health that Zion has been able to play as in many games as he has this year. I guess the Pelicans being right in the mix there for a playoff spot. The Warriors being, barely hanging on here.
Yeah.
They're going to make it probably because there's just not many that many teams trying in the West, right? Like the Jazz have kind of cashed it in, the Grizzlies. There's not that many teams. There's basically 10 teams that are trying, and the last team is the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. The West is very competitive. Very competitive. And you know early, like, we're not getting in, so we're good.
And maybe, you know what, the Rockets a little bit of a surprise. Like they've kind of fallen off, but if they had gotten into the playoffs, they would have been the surprise team.
Udoka is a heck of a coach.
Yes.
He's a heck of a coach.
If this were college, teams would have to be worried about somebody stealing him from the Rockets.
You know, it's really sad what happened to him in Boston because, Gordon, they might have won the championship if he's still there.
It's amazing. Think about all the things that you can plan for and you put time into this thing and that thing, and then something like that happens and it makes everything go sideways.
It's crazy. Buddha's in the Bronx. Hey, Buddha.
Yo, what's going on, my guys? How y'all doing?
Buddha.
You know, like you were talking about with the NBA playoffs, this is a very exciting year. You know, in the Western Conference, I think if Jamal Murray is healthy, you know, the Nuggets, they're going to get back to the big game, but that's a big if. And if he's not, you know, Dallas and Kanye Irving, you know, they got a shot.
That's a good one, Buddha.
You know, along with Minnesota and Carl Anthony Towns, I don't think that OKC is ready to be there yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if Carl Anthony Towns comes back, I think this is based on if Murray is not healthy.
Right.
Then you got, like, three teams, I think, vying for that. But I want to talk to the Knick boy here, you know. Like you said, I'm going to be the Knick boy.
That's me.
You know, and I'm going to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. Your team has a definite chance to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, and I heard Papa Lodge talking to you the other day, and this has definitely been Tibbs' best season as a coach. And it's not only often measured by, you know, where you've gotten and the different players you have, but he's adapted a little bit. Let's give him credit. We've all been a little, you know, shaky on him about different things. Mm-hmm. But he's adapted. And, you know, what I will say is this. You know, the Knicks fans that I know, that in my circle, that I know, older guys and, you know, and my lady at home, the problem that they have with Tibbs is, it's like the Alex Burks thing. There was no reason for Alex Burks to come here. Mm-hmm. You had to give Deuce McBride the opportunity to either sink or swim, show you what he could be. You know what Alex Burks could be. And the stuff with the Tibbs guys. And, you know, when you look at RJ, you look at Quickly, and you look at Obi Toppin, those three guys specifically, you know, each one of them had reasons why they didn't, you know, get to where they need to get to here as a team. Quickly was the best of the three. I think we could all admit that.
Yep.
But the situation was is that Tibbs' loyalty to Randall and sort of seeming like he never really gave those guys a chance is what kind of turns him off to some of the fans that I know. And in order for the Knicks to get to where they can get, and Brunson is a superstar at this point. I don't want to hear none of this stuff about star, good player. Awesome. He's a superstar. If they're going to get to where they need to go, not only do they need to get another player per se, and I don't know what level that player needs to be. Maybe it's Donovan Mitchell. Maybe it's somebody else. But what they have to do, and this aligns with the fact that they're going to get Dallas's first-round pick this year, the evolution of the Knicks and the evolution of Tibbs to where Tibbs goes from being a good coach and the Knicks go from being a good team to Tibbs being a great coach and the Knicks being a great team is, and this goes for all sports, it happens, and it's tough for, like, older, stubborn guys. You have to be able to draft somebody, and you have to be able to develop them because when you look at the Knicks, all of the Knicks' best players that they have so far have all been free agents or trades. Mm-hmm. And that can get you only so far in sports. You have to get a guy. And listen, Giannis was drafted to what position? You have to get a guy that you bring him into your program, and he develops. So, like I said, the Alex Burks thing, you know, it was a miss. You got to learn from that. And that's where I think where the Knicks will next year, or, you know, maybe next year or the year after that, when they become a true contending team, they'll have Brunson, they'll have another star. I don't know what's going to happen with Randall, but there'll be a young guy who asserts himself, a wing, 6 foot eight. You know what I mean?
Yep. I hear what you're saying, Buddha. Thanks for the phone call. I will say this, Gordon. Alec Burks, and I don't know, it might be coincidence. It might just be opportunity. But Gordon, from an offensive standpoint, Deuce McBride was a different person once Alec Burks got here.
Yeah.
It's almost as if he said, oh, no, you're not taking my job. And he said, now's the time for me. I showed you in practice. You guys know what I could do because that's why you gave me the 3-year deal. Okay? You know? And because we were shocked. Like, Deuce McBride got a 3-year contract? He doesn't even play. Except defensively. So they saw some things in practice, but it wasn't until Burks got here, Gordon, that he took it to another level, as if to say, like I said earlier, you're not taking my job. You're not taking my playing time. You're going to take somebody else's playing time. It's not going to be mine. And he's just taking another step. Now the question becomes, and I had this discussion with Monica McNutt, Gordon, the question becomes now, can he continue that confidence? And it's kind of the same thing we mentioned with Bogdanovich. Now that you got that rhythm, you got that flow while you were starting. You knew you were going to be playing 48 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking on the sideline. He know he's not coming out.
Right.
Okay? So I'm free. I'm confident. I know I can make a mistake and I can still be on the floor. I can take a bad shot and I'm still on the floor. Now, I can't take a bunch of them, but I can make up for it. When you're coming off the bench, Gordon, okay, you're limited.
Especially this bench.
Yes.
Right. There's quick hooks and then there's Tibbs.
Yes. So can he make that transition where he can continue the same confidence and starter's mindset coming in off the bench? It's similar to what Quickly went through last year, Gordon. I mean, he was sixth man of the year, but when he was starting, he was having a ball. He took another level.
Mm-hmm.
He reached another level as a starter. Goes back to the bench in the postseason, Gordon, not the same guy. So that's going to be the challenge for Deuce McBride. What helps Deuce is because of his defense, he'll be on the floor. But when you need him to make shots, is that confidence still going to be there that he can make them in those conditions? That's going to be the interesting thing to watch.
And the thing that Buddha was bringing up about you have to draft your guys, the Knicks have not – they could have went that route if they wanted to – make this a slower process.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've been trying to win right away has kind of limited the window to a certain extent that they're not getting a real high pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, McBride's one of their guys.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the only guy you would say. It's, you know, Mitchell Robinson was here before this regime got here. So,
right.
Over the long haul, that might be the case, right? You're hoping to land somebody with that Dallas pick this year. The Knicks have their own pick. I don't know what other – I think they only have the two picks this year. But for right now, I think it's a better sign for them is that they're able to identify pieces on other teams that are not as significant as they have been to the Knicks.
Yeah.
Josh Hart was not nearly as significant in other places as he's been to the Knicks. Dante DiVincenzo, while he was a good player and it was an upswing player – was not like this before he got here. So there's been a few. Hartenstein as well. That's another one.
And Gordon, they're going to have to pay some people. That's going to be the next thing.
Well, that is going to – it's going to be – it's never easy, right?
No.
It's never that you just, oh, we got it now and we can just relax. There's always something to work on.
Yeah, it starts like this season. Hartenstein's a free agent. OG's a free agent. You know? You got a couple other free agents on here. So, they got some decisions they got to make. What are we going to do? And Julius Randle's got, what, 2 more years left on his deal?
Is it 2 more years or is it 1 year and a player option?
I think it's 1 and 1.
Yeah.
It's 1 and 1.
So,
yeah.
It's a player option, so it's going to be another.
Yeah, so it's like 2 years. Because I'm not leaving.
No.
I opt to stay. I love a player option. I'm not going anywhere. How about that?
I will allow you to pay me $47 million.
Yeah, I will, Let me think about it. Okay, I'm staying.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Short show tomorrow night, but it's going to be an interesting one. We'll follow Knicks and Celtics in the game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. So we'll get the post game and we'll cover that and see what's happening. Maybe the Mets will play tomorrow, weather permitting.
I don't think the weather's not too promising tomorrow, right?
I know. Maybe listen, it's okay.
We'll start waiting at noon and we'll see how long it takes to get that window.
Well, it is
buy your hot dogs and your sodas and your beers and your ice creams.
Well, you know, it's getaway day, so they're not going to wait too long.
Yeah, I guess not.
You're not going to wait too long. Doug's at the Jersey Shore. What's up, Doug? You're next on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I happen to work hours where I'm driving home, and I get to listen to you fellas. I'm a long-time suffering Dolphin fan like Gordon.
Oh, poor Doug. I'm sorry, Doug. My apologies.
Yeah, I called you a while back. I was going to it. We're suffering together, I guess. You know, yep. It is what it is. So I called in. I heard you talking about Breaking Bad while I was driving. And I was listening to Tom Thibodeau speak the other night post-game, and I thought of Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad. Do they not sound like they could be brothers? Or
yeah, that's not too bad. I could definitely see Tibbs giving a no half measures speech in the locker room, right?
Right.
I could definitely see that. Yeah, that's not a bad combo.
I mean, minus the cussing and all that, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah, I think Mike Ehrmantraut probably cussed less than Tibbs in the locker room.
There's no question,
right?
Tibbs. No, Tibbs.
Maybe,
Tibbs.
Yes.
Tibbs is good on the floor. Forget the locker room.
Yeah.
Now, whenever I hear him speak, I can't unhear it. I picture Mike Ehrmantraut whenever I'm driving.
Yeah, we got Joe or Harvey. If you could get a cut of Tibbs and a cut of Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad, we could pair them up
related.
Together
they
to see.
To
yeah, I feel like that is actually pretty. They might be like sound voice twins.
They're so monotone. They're so monotone.
And they both have a little gravel in their voice, too.
Walter, do I got to tell you again? You know, it's just
But Doug has done a pretty good Mike Ehrmantraut. That wasn't bad.
So I heard you guys talking about it. I had to call in. But, yeah, my main question, obviously the Knicks are awesome to watch this year. My question is, though, Gordon, you're more – of an expert on the Miami Dolphins than me or my Uncle Howie, who's from Miami. What is your outlook for this season, general?
Much like Doug, thanks for the phone call and the kind words. Like Mr. T said in Rocky III, Larry, my prediction?
Pain.
It will always be pain. And here's the thing. If you want to be a Dolphin expert like myself, here's all you need to know. If something good happens, it means that something bad that will counter-react the good, right? Like, so if something is a level 5 good, level 10 bad is coming. If level 5 bad has happened, you know that another level 5 bad is going to happen. Like, no matter what, it will always end badly.
Mm-hmm.
So if people, like say at the draft, if people like the Dolphins pick, it will be a flop. If people don't like the Dolphins pick, they will be correct. Always go into every situation, even during the good times, realize that a bad thing is right around the corner.
That's hard.
Much like a story like Breaking Bad, when Walter and Jesse like make a step forward, you know that in the larger story, they've actually taken 2 steps back. That's the Miami Dolphins.
It's a rough way to be, my friend.
Look, I'm not saying I want it to be this way. I'm not predicting, like, I hope that this happens. I hope it ends. I hope the pain ends at some point. But when we're talking, you notice when we talked about the next 20 years and teams winning championships, never once did I bring up my team? Because they won't even get a sniff.
I thought your pain was going to end this year. I really
don't. No, it doesn't end. It just takes on new forms, Larry.
That's rough. But, you know, I don't know what's worse, whether it's to be like you are with Miami, where you just know it's pain, it's the way it is. Something good's and nothing's nothing. It's good, but then 10 things bad is going to happen. Or if it's been being a Knicks fan the past couple of years before this got here, you know, where you had like, 15 wins in a season. Like, you go into the season knowing there's no hope. I don't know which is worse.
I'm a big believer of like Red from Shawshank.
Mm-hmm.
What he says about when they bring up hope, he's like, let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. Being hopeless removes you from the pain. It almost numbs you in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that it's not going anywhere good. I've seen this movie before. Mm-hmm. I know how it ends. So they can't suck me back in mm-hmm. because I know the future. Mm-hmm. I am all-knowing and all-seeing, Larry.
All right.
At least when it comes to the Dolphins.
All right. Guys, let's hear what you got.
I'll never make that mistake again. No more half measures, Walter.
You know, he understands, too, when they get the ball out of his hands, not to stop moving, right? So then we can get the ball back to him, get him the second look in space.
It's not crazy.
It's not crazy.
No.
And to be honest.
He's getting fouled. He's getting fouled. He's getting fouled. He's getting fouled.
It worked. What did he go to the foul line? 12 times?
It was a bunch. It was a bunch. Like if Tibbs ever writes a book and they need somebody to voice the book on audio tape.
Yeah.
Jonathan Banks is the actor's name. I think Jonathan Banks would be the you would feel like Tibbs was reading you a story.
Yeah. Like he was right there with you.
Right there with you, holding your hand, cursing at you.
What does Peter Rosenberg call him? What is it? Sleepy Time Bobo? Whenever they run Tom Thibodeau audio?
Oh, no. Well, that Sleepy Time Bobo is a LaGreca expression. I don't know if Peter has co-opted it for something specific.
Time for Sleepy Time Bobos.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I believe that Don actually co-opted it from his friend Tim, who used to say Sleepy Time Bobos.
Okay.
We're going a deep dive on the term Sleepy Time Bobos. Yeah, this is almost like a Gogolak moment for us. We're going deep on a Gogolak.
Well, we can't have that, so let's take a break and come back, and let's talk a little baseball on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Time to talk a little baseball on ESPN New York Tonight. For those of you on hold, we'll get to you in a couple of minutes. Time to go to the ballpark. Well, we'll go to two ballparks, Gordon Damer, because even though the Mets were rained out in Atlanta, Carlos Mendoza stepped up to the microphone to give us an update on what's going on with the Mets ace, Kodai Senga.
Yeah, obviously needing that roster spot and where he's at, you know, not a setback, nothing wrong with him. He just, you know, we knew it was going to take some time, and with him still throwing flat grounds and things like that, he hasn't even get on the mound, so it's gonna be a few weeks before we see him, so that was a move.
All right, so the Mets made the move, Gordon Damer, and this Senga thing is going to last a while. I don't know who's going to come back first. Right now, Gerrit Cole is set to come back, is ahead of what Senga's doing.
There you go, right? It's been a while, and it feels like it's going to be a whole lot longer, right?
Absolutely. And oh, by the way, Gordon... Will J.D. Martinez play before the next lunar eclipse?
Yeah, it does kind of feel like, what are we doing here, right?
Oh, back issues. But I'll say this, Gordon, and they mentioned on the K-Show, and they're 1,000% right. Players that waited late in spring training have not fared well. Snell's not been great.
No, well, he's just getting going. Yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of behind, and I guess for the player, it's like, well, I got to wait until I get a deal that's worthy of mm-hmm. my level of play, especially for somebody like Snell, who was the Cy Young a year ago.
Yep.
But I do think that it kind of, like, teams, oh, well, we got a good deal on this guy because we got him so late. Well, did you really get a good deal? Because the guy's not going to be there for the first month of the season.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. We head to the Bronx where, surprise, surprise, the Marlins won the game.
Look at that.
Marlins won. They beat the Yankees by the score of 5-2. Marcus Stroman with the loss. 5 innings, 4 hits, 4 runs, 7 Ks, 4 walks. After the game, Marcus Stroman was asked what went wrong.
I just think my command was off. Mechanics were a bit off today. Just something you run into sometimes in season. That fourth inning kind of got away from me a little bit, and Berger put a really good swing on a bad pitch. After that, I feel like I locked it in, but didn't do enough early on.
Marcus, was it difficult to get into any sort of rhythm on the mound?
No, I think I was just a little off, you know? I think mechanically, I just was just losing the zone. It's very uncharacteristic of me to walk four guys, so that's not me at all. So definitely make adjustments in this week and get back to my process and get back out there against the Blue Jays on Tuesday.
I know you don't like to make excuses, but did the cold weather bother you at all?
I didn't feel none of the weather. Weather has nothing to do with it, you know? Yeah, just didn't make pitches in that third, and mechanically, I just got away. Can't walk the leadoff guy. You know, like I said, four walks is, that's not going to do it. And that's very uncharacteristic of me. So got to make an adjustment.
One bad outing, Gordon, he's been really good. I just think it was one bad outing for him. And the one thing I will say about him, though, even when he was a Met, great pitcher. But his off-speed stuff, when he doesn't have that consistently and it's not sharp, he doesn't have a lot of margin for error because his fastball is inconsistent.
Yeah, and look, I think that tonight was really a frustrating night for the offense. I know he had the one bad inning, and going against the Marlins team, you lose. You kind of look at the starting pitcher and didn't give us a chance. But the Yankees had so many opportunities in this game to break it open, and they just could not get the big hit.
Including the ninth inning.
I mean, it felt like every inning. Felt like they had guys on base every single inning and just could not get that big hit.
It's one of those nights. It happens. It's one of those nights. I could just hear Joe Leo in the background saying, when is Judge going to get started? When is Judge going to get going? What's going on with Judge?
I guess 0-4 tonight, couple of strikeouts. I think he made the final out of the game as well, so not a great night for him. But, you know, how many guys did they leave on base tonight? 0-7 with runners in scoring position, and they left 10 men on base.
Not a good night for the Yankees offensively.
No.
Now it's time for
Answers with Aaron.
All right, Gordon Denver, we got three for you tonight, my friend.
Oh, three. Uh-oh.
This is Aaron Boone. He was asked about the loss to Miami tonight on the loss to Miami.
Loss to Miami. I'd say he'd probably say what I said. It was a frustrating night. We had some opportunities. He'll touch on maybe Stroman losing his rhythm in that one inning. We had some good at-bats. We were grinding, but we just couldn't come up with that big hit tonight.
Aaron Boone on the loss to Miami.
Gosh, I thought we competed really well all night. We didn't get the big hit tonight. You know, we had chances in the middle of the game where it looked like we were building something. They were able to get out of it and then all the way to the end there. So, you know, just couldn't quite finish it off. But, you know, the purpose I've been talking about, man, you could feel that and gave ourselves a chance there in the end.
What do you think?
Maybe a double, solid?
Yeah.
Nothing we'll too crazy. That. Certainly not a home run.
No, but we'll take that. Could have used it tonight.
Yeah.
Aaron Boone also was asked, Gordon, what did he see from Stroman on the mound in his performance tonight?
Generally in these situations, he'll talk about rhythm. He won't talk about focus. He'll talk about rhythm. Mm. Just kind of got out of his rhythm a little bit. So I think that that's what he'll point to. But then he also kind of bring it back into the positive that it was just that one inning that kind of did him in.
Aaron Boone, what did you see from Marcus Stroman?
Just thought like he had a hard time getting real good in his delivery. And I thought he actually got kind of rectified a little bit there in the fourth and the fifth. I thought kind of settled in. But first three innings for him, just having a little, probably just a little out of rhythm and, you know, didn't have, I think, that great feel that he's had with all his pitches. Stuff was good, you know, was getting a lot of swing and miss. And then I thought settled in to get us through the middle innings there, to get us through five. But just a little struggle there, I think, getting in rhythm early.
Rhythm,
that good.
That's what we're looking for.
Wow.
He loves rhythm.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. One more for you, Gordon Damer.
Uh-huh.
All right, last one. By the way, Giancarlo Stanton went deep tonight.
He did, yep. He's been hitting the ball hard. Even last night.
Shots.
He was hitting, he was hitting rockets. Absolutely.
Shots. So Aaron Boone was asked, is this as locked in as Stanton has been? Gordon?
Well, he's going to be nothing but positive. You know, this is the guy that we know G can be. I'm expecting a nickname here tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's G or not, but this is the guy that we can think he can be, and he's just locked in right now. All positives when it comes to Giancarlo Stanton.
Hey, Skip, is this as locked in as Stanton has been?
Man, he looks good, right? He does. You know, health. It's health, you know, and he's, again, even going back to before him really getting locked in here over these last several days, you know, he's been in the at-bats all year, and I think it's now, you know, getting into a pretty good timing and rhythm up there and looks really good.
Very good, Gordon Damon.
Yeah, I like the last one better. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he didn't give us a big G. I was looking for a big G.
He didn't give us a G. I was surprised. I was expecting a nickname of some kind.
Yeah, so was I. I'm a little disappointed. Gordon, if I said to you, this batter is hitting 256 and the other batter is hitting 178, what would you say?
Well, 256 isn't it depends on what kind of hitter we're talking about, right?
Stanton is hitting 256 right now.
Right.
Judge is hitting 178.
Yeah, well, look, Judge is still getting on base.
I'm talking more from Stanton's standpoint. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Stanton's slugging 600, so that's all you need to know when it comes
to
Stanton.
That's it.
Look, here's the thing. Over the last couple of years, Stanton has hit basically like 210.
Mm-hmm.
And has hit probably about 25 home runs. Do we think that Giancarlo Stanton is going to hit more than 25 home runs this year?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he'll hit 30.
Okay.
I think he'll hit 30 this year. I think this is going to be a pretty good year for him.
Well, if he hits 30, this Yankee team is going to be very good. Because you know what Soto gives you. Judge is going to get things turned around. Volpe looks like he's taking that big next step
that we were talking about before the season.
He really looks great. You know, Glaber will have his stretches when he hits. Verdugo, even if he's not great, he'll be better than anything they had in left field last year. So they'll score a ton of runs if Stanton is good. And you're going to get LeMahieu back at some point.
At some point.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, enough of that. Gabe's in Brooklyn. Gabe, you're next on 98.7. We serenaded you, Gabe.
Hey, what's
going on,
fellas?
That's how much we think about you. We serenaded you tonight.
How you doing tonight?
We're good. What's going on? What you got?
Listen, Gordon, you got to stop doing this to us. Last year, you came on this radio talking about how the Jets was going to win 15 games, only to lose one. Stop.
Well, I couldn't predict an Aaron Rodgers injury like that going down four points into the season.
Anyway, I know why you do that because that's that Dolphin pain. So you want somebody to share it with you. So I got you, man. It's all good. But you know what I'm really scared of, like for the Knicks. You know, Tibbs, he played a small rotation, right? I'm afraid these guys might be like, you know, like come playoff time, they might be kind of gassed out.
Well, Gabriel, listen, thanks for the phone call. Everybody shortens their rotation. Everybody shortens their rotation. Even Steve Kerr, who plays everybody, Gordon, shortens his rotation. They all do. So your starters in the postseason, they all play 35 to 38 minutes. And you can expect that. Here, in this case, these guys are prepared because they've been playing that all season. And they're going to have a week off before they have to get to going because you got to do the play-in and all that other stuff. So they'll have a week. They'll get a chance to rest up and relax and recoup. And, you know, they'll do practice and they'll do film sessions and whatnot. And they'll be okay. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, this team, mentally, it's more mental than physical for me, Gordon. And I think this team has been through it enough, especially this season, that they're mentally ready for it. And it's the postseason. No, nobody wants to be off the floor in the postseason. Anyway.
I would just simply ask Knicks fans, do you like the idea of competing for the 2 seed and being in the 3 seed right now? The reason that you're there is because Tibbs has been forced to kind of push guys to the limit with all the injuries that they've been dealing with. And because of that, that's why you're playing. You can't make the argument that Tibbs does not have them playing at their best. He has gotten more out of this group than I think that is fair to expect, considering all the injuries and all the things you deal with Randall being gone and OG missing as much time, basically almost after getting here, right? They had 15 or 16 games when he was here and then gone again. And you had Brunson miss a little bit of time here or there. Hartenstein is a little bit of time here or there.
I'll say this, Gordon, and Tibbs got his coach of the year when he first got here.
Yeah.
All right? And rightfully so. Gordon, he's done a better job this year than he did that year.
Yeah. Well, he's had more to work with now. And unfortunately, the coach of the year is like, who did the most with the least? And that that first year, the fact they were the four seed was ridiculous. That was crazy. Yeah. No one would have thought that.
Yep.
But no, yeah, overall, and he's he has taken the pieces that he's had, and they have melded into a team in his image.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the one thing that, and Buddha touched on it earlier, Gordon, the one thing I have to give him credit, he's done a much better job making adjustments this year than he has in previous years. I mean, you look at what he was able to do in a couple of these games, what teams got away with in the first half, they did not get away with in the second half. Now, clearly in the postseason, all right, you got to make your adjustments a little quicker because, you know, you're playing better caliber teams. Mm-hmm. They know what you do. You have to come up with something different. Every game is its own series.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll have to do a little quicker job on it. But what he's been able to do in matching up and making adjustments, even off. And the thing, Gordon, that has surprised me, it's offensive adjustments he's made. Like if teams doing something, well, pick and roll, he'll move the pick and he'll move the screen to a different side or do something of that nature. If I were them, I would do a lot of work against the zone because I expect they're going to see a lot of zone in the postseason.
Well, it's crazy that we're almost at the end of the regular season, but this is what you've waited for, and hopefully they can win out, and we'll see where things stand, if it's the two, if it's the three, but you have to appreciate where you are. Think about where you were before this guy got here.
God, we were nowhere.
Nowhere.
We were.
Nowhere.
We were swimming without a boat, going upstream, trying to figure out where we're going to go. All right, my friend, I'll talk to you soon. Feel better?
All right, Larry.
All right, we'll see you soon. That wraps up this edition of ESPN New York Tonight. We thank you for joining us. Harvey Joe, thank you very much. Remember, we'll see you tomorrow night following Knicks and Celtics, the game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN.